السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. Last week Thursday was it one of the Hakmagdas Abdullah Barakatuh. He mentioned in the majlis, he started the majlis by saying that it's a very sad situation that there was a divorce taken place. So why the divorce took place? Because the wife was all the time on the cell phone. All the time. Now sometimes it's the wife, sometimes it's the husband. But in this particular case, the wife all the time on the cell phone. So the husband is probably telling her to stop this thing now. So in the end, she left the house. She said, if I have to make a choice between you and cell phone, so I'd rather choose cell phone. So each one of us, we must, you know, assess ourselves, we must check ourselves, that how much the cell phone has taken over our lives. How much of time goes behind the cell phone, how engrossed we are in this phone. And sometimes we think that, no, now, we have to be in this group and we have to be in that group and we have to be here and we have to be there. We have to know what's happening there and here. But really, if we sit down and ponder and we really take stock, then we'll realize that I'm just making excuses for myself. Then I don't need to be spending so much time on this thing. And it's really becoming a big problem in many, many homes. This time that is being spent on the cell phone. So one is between spouses or sometimes children also, they are all with their phones, they got no time for the parents. All these things. But the question we have to ask ourselves also is, how is this thing affecting me as a person? How is it affecting my Islam? How is it contaminating me? How much of my time is getting wasted, which that time could have been used for dhikrullah, that time could have been used for something constructive, and now my time is just going in this cell phone. So how our people of the past, they lived without this thing, and life carried on. So we can't stay without it totally. I mean, you got the phone, the certain things that you need on there or whatever. But at least we must minimize. Minimize. When we come home, put the thing away. If it is something really serious, really urgent, people will get in touch with us. If there's some mayat or something, and they sent you a WhatsApp message, and you never check it, they're going to phone you. They will phone you. Work-related calls, all that, why we must take after hours before the person had his work number? You know, that phone, telecom phone or whatever phone, it was in the shop. So when he left the shop, then that phone stayed there. But his business carried on. Now why we have to answer calls after hours, be doing things after hours, all that? This shows that we are becoming hungry for the dunya. There is a greed for the dunya. All the time we are in the chakkar of the dunya. So Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq. It's something that we have to make islah of, you know. Something that we have to really check ourselves and fight our nafs and, you know, minimize the time spent on these Shaitan's. It's like a Shaitan, this thing, this phone. The other thing, we had the good fortune of meeting Hazrat Maulana Mulla Sahib, Damat Barakatu, who of Dairy Smith. He was my ustad also, and we just started Hibs. So Hazrat Maulana, he is now 90 years of age, you know, 90 years old, very senior alim of our country. He was a student and a murid of Hazrat Maulana Madni Sahib Rahmatullah, you know, from that zamana. So one amongst the few advices that he gave, one of the advices he gave is, he said, you see, he was quoting Hazrat Maulana Madni Sahib Rahmatullahi. So he said that we must bring this conscious awareness that I am doing this action for Allah Ta'ala. One is, we say we are renewing our niyat and we are doing only for Allah Ta'ala and all that. But he said that at that moment when you're doing the act, when that ibadat is being carried out, then at that time, we must remind ourselves that I'm doing this for Allah Ta'ala. So now there will be a different flavor in that ibadat, and we will try to bring some quality in that ibadat. Because now it is going to be presented to Allah Ta'ala. It's like our families at home. So they cook for us. Allah Ta'ala give them jazai khair. Sometimes you get one too very so-called educated animals. You know? So they say, no, not my job to cook. It's not my duty. I don't have to cook for you. So they want to go by the rule book. So if you start going by the rule book, and if the husband is a sharp alim, then he too can take out a lot of things. He too can take. So we don't, our Hazrat Mahesh Patel Sahib Rahmatullahi, he used to say, we don't go by the book of rights. We go by the book of muhabbat, the book of love. You go extra mile for one another. And generally you see that in our women folk, they go the extra mile. And in most situations, the men folk too, they do more than what is necessary. They go the extra mile, they do out of muhabbat. So they will cook for us. But now, if one visitor is coming, so now when they're dishing out the same curry which normally they'll cook and give you, and it's very tasty, everything, you're enjoying it, but now the visitor is coming, now that they feel, now, you know, my izzat is at stake. Right? Izzat is at stake. So now, that other bowl which you didn't know is in the cupboard, that one comes out. That bowl will come out, now the dish out. Now which spoon, now the dishing out spoon, one special spoon must come out. Then they have to garnish now. You know, the presentation. Why? Because they are conscious that now you'll be feeding some outside people. You know, feed them well. So like that, if you think that now I am doing this for Allah, I'm presenting this thing to Allah Ta'ala. Now how much more care we'll take in that ibadat? How it needs to be wrapped? How it needs to be presented? Because this is going to Allah Ta'ala. What happens to us is that sometimes we just go into auto mode, you know, autopilot. So we're just going through the motions. If anybody asks us why we're reading namaz, I'm reading for Allah Pak. But I'm just going through the motions. I don't have that conscious awareness that Allah Ta'ala is watching me. I'm doing this, I'm presenting it to Allah Rabbul Izzat. I need acceptance from Allah Ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala must accept this ibadat from me. So this is a very important thing, the golden advice, that at that time bring that conscious awareness that my Allah Ta'ala is watching me and I am doing this action for my Allah Ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala give me tawfiq, Allah give you tawfiq. There was two maids in Dalton today, the Lunat family. So the father and the son, both of them. So it was a shaheed type of mood, you know. Allahu Alam, Allah knows exactly what happened. We don't know exactly what happened. But the both of them were found, passed away, you know. So in the dunya, is the person has passed away, while he has passed away, is he feeling any pain of his wounds? Whoever inflicted the wounds on them, so at that time when they inflicted the fatal wounds, at that time there may be some pain, something. Now the person has passed away. Now is the person feeling any pain of those wounds? Absolutely nothing. Absolutely nothing. Right? If the incident took place last night, yesterday, whenever, right? At that time there may have been some pain at that time. But if this father and son, because we can't see in the ghaib, right? We have hope. We have hope that Allah Ta'ala bless them with the ranks of shahadat. That they are martyrs. We have this hope. But we don't have ilm al-ghayb. So we cannot make any power. So we cannot make any claims. We can't make claims. But we are hopeful that Allah Ta'ala grant them the ranks of martyrdom. So whatever ordeal they may have went through, right? If you have to ask them if they are granted the ranks of martyrdom, if you have to ask them that, would you like to rewind and not go through this ordeal? If somebody have to ask them, they see, we rewind this thing, we give you a choice, can rewind, and you don't go through this ordeal, and you don't get this rank of shahadat, and sometime later, maybe just get a natural maut. You think they're going to opt for that? If Allah Ta'ala has given them the ranks of shahadat, will any person who is given the ranks of a martyr, will that person opt for that? Will never opt. When the person sees the sawab and the reward of the akhirat, the person will never opt. Now in the same way, we must ask ourselves that Allah Ta'ala has given us this hayati. Now in order to attain Allah's razamandi, in order to attain Allah's mercy, Allah Ta'ala to give us jannat, so we have to hold on to our iman, we have to carry out amal salih, we have to stay away from guna. As difficult as it is at that time, right? But if a person just does it, a person does it, he takes that pain, he stays away from the guna, he fights his nafs, he remains steadfast. When he is going to pass away, and he's going to see the rewards. He's going to see the rewards that Allah Ta'ala is going to give him. Do you think he's going to opt that, no man, hey, I lost out there in the dunya. I should have indulged in this guna or I should have indulged in that guna. He's not going to opt for any of that. He would be so pleased. In fact, he would think, now, why didn't I do more? Why didn't I do more? So this dunyavi life is a very temporary life. We have to make Allah Ta'ala happy. in this life of ours, we have to make Allah Ta'ala happy. Not make ourselves happy. Make Allah Ta'ala happy. Allah Ta'ala will make everything easy. Initially there will be a bit of a struggle, be a bit of a fight. After that, Allah Ta'ala will make things easy for us. Our objective is the raza of Allah Ta'ala. Allah's pleasure, Allah must be pleased with us. As it was mentioning last week, I took out this paper, I thought we'll discuss the six lessons of Hazrat Hatim Asam Rahmatullah Ali, but now maybe we'll do it in a Jummah or something. I'm going somewhere else. So Hazrat Abdullah bin Huzafa radiallahu anhu, Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu had sent them in jihad, and he was captured by some Roman forces, you know. They were taken to the Roman leader himself and his jamaat, other Sahaba radiallahu anhum, other Muslims. So there was a long conversation, it came in Fazail-e Amal also, the whole incident. What was the king asked him, what answers he gave, everything. So the king was offering him Christianity, that you leave your Islam, you come to Christianity. So he refused, so it never happened. So whatever they threatened him with, then whatever they did to him, but he was remaining firm and steadfast on Islam, right? Firm, steadfast on his iman. Threatened him that they put a boiling oil in a cauldron, in a big pot. They put boiling oil and they heated it. Where if you had to take somebody and put them inside there, in a short while, the flesh will separate from the bones. So hot that oil is. So they told him, now we're going to put you in there. So he was tearing. And the guards took him, so they saw that he is tearing, he is crying. So they sent a message back to the king that, you know what, he's crying, so maybe we broke him, like, you know. So the king said, well, if he's crying, then bring him back. Don't put him in the pot. They brought him back. So, all right, now you're ready to accept Christianity. He said, no, never accept Christianity. He said, but then the guards say you're tearing, you're crying. What you crying for? So look at his jawab. He says, I'm crying because I only got one life. I'm crying because I only got one life. You see, if I had more lives, and each life I could have given for Allah Ta'ala. Now like this, one life now is going to go here, finish. I can't give another life. And this was also the desire of Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. I must give my life, must be killed in the path of Allah Ta'ala, then given life again, then killed again, given life again, killed again. This was the desire of Huzur-e Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So this should be how we think in our life. This life of mine is for Allah Ta'ala. Whatever is Allah Ta'ala's hukam, I must carry out that hukam. No matter what happens, no matter what the situation. Now we think, when we hear these kind of incidents, we say, no, I'm also like that. I too, I want to give my life, you know. Right? But then if we look in our life, say, now, if I'm a smoker, I can't give up my cigarette. Which life I'm going to give? so many things in our life. Now if I'm making rebirth, I can't stop the rebirth. How am I going to give my life for Allah Ta'ala? If I can't make certain sacrifices in my business, right? There's certain things if I have to do in my business, my turnover is going to drop, but it will make Allah happy. I can't do that. Now how am I going to give my life? So it's wishful thinking that we think we can give our life. So I ulama tell us, Sahaba radiallahu anhu, there was something else, you know. There was something else. If we, a lot of time we think that, you know, if only I was there in the time of Sahaba radiallahu anhu, how would have been? See, but if we were there at that time, we don't know which camp we would have been in. We don't know which camp we would, where we would have fallen, which side we would have gone. So there is this, the way that things are going now, we have to make a lot of sacrifices for our deen. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he has told us that the time will come when to practice on deen, when a person wants to practice on deen, remain steadfast on deen, then it will be like holding on to a burning charcoal. Hot charcoal, how a person, how difficult it is to hold on to a burning charcoal. To practice on deen, remain steadfast on deen, protect one's iman. But we have to be prepared to sacrifice, prepared to make qurbani. We don't ask Allah Ta'ala to put difficulties on us. And we must never think in our mind, no, me, I can handle. We must humble ourselves in front of Allah Ta'ala. But whatever difficulties have to come our way, then faltasbir. Then we must remain. With patience, we must remain. We must expect reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Our gaze must be on Allah Ta'ala. At some point in our life, right, we have to make the choice. Choices will have to be made. Now, for example, all these LGBT things, right? Now, the way they are forcing this thing down our throat, they're forcing this thing down our throat. So much so, they're saying, no, now what's our solution? They got the LGBT in the school, so let's take our children out of the school. Put our children, we'll homeschool our children. But now comes the test. What can homeschool you want to give? So you want your child to be registered because you want your child tomorrow must go study and become something, because otherwise how he's going to get his rosy? I don't know how all the sahaba are getting their rosy. But anyway, now that's our fikr, you know, that's our worry now, isn't it? So we want the child. So if you're going to be in a registered homeschool, so now they want to make it that in a registered homeschool also, you have to teach this thing. You have to teach this over there also. So now a person has to make a decision, right? Has to make a decision that which route I'm going to go now? Where I'm going to go? And now, if they have to force this thing down your throat, what you will do? If they come and say that, no, you can't have a homeschooling that's not registered, and you have to do this thing, so kya karega? You carry on eating curry khichdi and papa? We have to take our deen very serious. We have to take our deen serious. We have to stand by it. And Allah Ta'ala may give us tawfiq and courage. defend our deen, the principles of deen, stand up for the shariat, establish the shariat. Allah Ta'ala's shariat is such that if shariat is established, then it brings about aman, it brings about peace, it brings a peaceful community. Insan brings about fasad. Insan brings about zulam. Right? So when insan starts making laws, and insan wants to make constitutions, that will always bring in its wake fitna, fasad, shararat, zulam, all that will, na insafi, all that will come. When shariat is established, then there'll be aman, there'll be aman, there'll be adl when shariat is established. But we Muslims are busy establishing ourselves. We are busy establishing ourselves. We are busy establishing. We're not looking ahead that the deen of Allah Ta'ala needs to be established. That's our work here on earth, to establish the deen of Allah Ta'ala. That we're not looking at. As long as my dunya is comfortable, my business is running well, my office is fine, my profession is fine, my motor car is fine, my house is fine, I'm happy. But it's the deen of Allah Ta'ala. How much of that am I establishing? How much of Allah's shariat have I brought about? That vision is gone. Allah's deen needs to be established. Our situation has become such, that we will say that, see, this non-Muslim country, we can't establish a shariat here. Right? But even in the places where we can establish shariat, there too we got no shariat. There too we don't bring shariat. You take our masajid, you take our madaris, take our darul ulooms. See if every individual there is establishing shariat. I can bring shariat. And Allah Ta'ala would then see that, no, this community, this ummah, they really want the shariat. Allah would open the road. Allah Ta'ala would open the road. We can't do. We can't do anything. Allah Ta'ala does. See, Huzur e Paak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, for 13 years in Makkah Mukarramah, they are persecuted, they are tortured. But they remain steadfast. They didn't shake. Some lives too got lost. But they didn't shake. They remain steadfast. Then Allah opened the road. Allah told him, right now, sacrifice everything now. Make hijrat, go away. Sacrifice everything. So they left everything now. And they went away to Madinah Munawwara. But now in Madinah Munawwara, how Allah Ta'ala established a markaz. And Allah Ta'ala, from there, how it bloomed, how deen started spreading. When Hazrat Shaki Maktar Sahib Rahmatullah Ali once, when he was entering Madinah Munawwara, going for Umrah, then he said, Dosto ye hai shehre Madina. Oh friends, this is the city of Madinah Munawwara. Jisse Islam phaila jahan mein. From where Islam spread to the world. So when they remained steadfast, they kept Allah's command in front of them, whether they were being suffocated, whether they were being starved, whether they were being whooped, whether whatever ostracized, whatever, but they kept Allah's deen in front of them. And no matter what, We got no resources, we got no numbers, we got nothing. But we got Allah's deen. Then Allah opened the road. Allah opened the road. Then deen came alive. Shariat was established. And then from there, way and where deen went. Way and where deen went. See, this last khilafat, Usmani khilafat, when that khilafat came to an end, to what lengths these kuffar went to contaminate that land? There must be no madrasa, no masjid, no tabligh, no Arabic, no namaz, nothing there. Why? Because they're so afraid that if this ummah has to wake up, there's nothing going to stand in the way of this ummah. Because this ummah got Allah's nusrat. How you can stand in the way? But the ummah is busy sleeping. Ummah is in the selfhood. Ummah is in the sports scene. The young ummah, young men of the ummah are in the vape and the drug and womanizing, caught up in so many gunas. So really we have to have a rethink, man. To have a rethink about our deen. Our deen, Allah Pak gave us this deen. This deen have to be established. Deen have to come. He's so much in a chakkar. From the morning we wake up, we worried about bills. We worried about money, worried about these things. How many times a day do I have this fikr in me that Allah's deen needs to be established? I need to establish Allah's deen. So this is a zimmedari, it's a responsibility on us. It's the whole object of our life. Then in everything, whether it's in marriage, whether it's in business, whether it's in social interaction, whatever, Allah's deen will be there. Allah ta'ala give us tawfiq. Allah ta'ala give us tawfiq. Allah Ta'ala give us a true understanding. Allah Ta'ala open our hearts. Open our hearts, open our chest. And make us realize what is our real work here on earth. Why Allah Ta'ala put us on earth. Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammad wa ala ali Sayyidina Muhammad wa barik wa sallim. اللهم ربنا فاغفر لنا ذنوبنا وكفر عنا سيئاتنا وتوفنا مع الأبرار اللهم أعنا على ذكرك وشكرك وحسن عبادتك اللهم لا مانع لما أعطيت ولا معطي لما منعت ولا ينفع ذا الجد منك الجد اللهم يا مصرف القلوب صرف قلوبنا على طاعتك اللهم يا مقلب القلوب ثبت قلوبنا على دينك اللهم وفقنا لما تحب وترضى من الفعل والقول والنية والهدى إنك على كل شيء قدير اللهم ثبتنا على الإيمان وأمتنا على الإيمان واحشرنا يوم القيامة مع الإيمان جزا الله عنا نبينا محمدا صلى الله عليه وسلم بما هو أهله آمين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين والحمد لله رب